He's coming to be glorified in us. The Spirit spoke back to me yesterday. And it's one of my favorites.
I don't like to say that, but for lack of expressions,
who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious one, according to the workings whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. You gotta have a body that can bring everything subject to him. Jesus had a body that made everything bow down to him. You cannot make everything bow down to you in the body of flesh. You're gonna wrestle all the days of your life and nothing's gonna happen. I wouldn't be surprised. You might beware of how you entertain strangers. You just might be entertaining an angel unaware. For that to be said, evidently they're not going to tell you they are an angel. I don't think they do. I think when those men came and Abraham fixed them, they sit down and ate. Next thing he knew, after it was over, they were gone. They didn't come down and say, hey, we are angels sent down from above. They don't talk like that, because they already are. See, if you ever get to the place that you know who you are, you don't try to tell anybody who you are, because you know who you are and you're okay with knowing who you are. Jesus knows who he is. The gospel makes you know who you are in him. We are complete in him. Well, where's the faith to prove it? Prove that I have no lack. Prove that I'm not in poverty. Prove that I walk by faith and not by sight. Prove that I don't have to deal with anyone the way they deal with me. Prove that I don't render evil for evil. Prove that I can be merciful. Can you hear it? I think one of the biggest problems we suffer with is that we don't understand the gospel is about righteousness. The faith is about what? And the righteousness of faith does what? What does the righteousness by faith do? Save your soul. You don't need no money to be righteous. Dude, we may as well forget it, because we ain't got enough. You don't need money to be righteous. You need faith, because that's what produces the righteousness of God out of us, is faith. Not to say you have to pick between the two, because the Lord knows we have need in this life. Is that true? He'll supply all our needs, some of them. That's straight across the board. According to his what? Where? So which one should I seek first? The supplying of my need or the riches? Which one? Well, tell me what the church in Revelation decided to do. In the book of Revelation, the first chapter, the church of Ephesus, tell me what they decided to do. Because there are seven churches, which speaks of the seven spirits of the candlesticks. And it also speaks of every aspect of church that has to be dealt with. And seven churches speak of the spirit that visit the churches. All churches read answer to the seven churches. And they answer to the candlestick. all these we got. No. So many of them belong to Ephesus. So many belong to the other six all through. Wherever you are, you in one of those seven. Listen at Ephesus. It says, Revelation 1, drop down 2. Is it Ephesus where he talks about Ephesus? It's chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Chapter 2. Go to chapter 2. Thank you.
Revelation 1, Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
He's got the seven stars. Where? Now the glory of the stars belongs to what? Huh? Celestial. The sun, moon, and stars, all of them make up how many glories? One. So he's holding the seven stars. Go ahead. And walking among the golden candlesticks. Is that what you said? So the candlesticks are the seven lights that were lit, Elder Bale. How?
It was lit from the
Take a mic.
They were lit from the fire from the brazen altar.
When you present your body as a living sacrifice, from your body being presented as a living sacrifice, your blood is in your sacrifice. And as a result, you become a partaker of his sacrifice. That you can yield your members at that point and manifest the candlestick of God in you, which is your spirit. Go ahead.
Verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Ooh.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not.
Wait a minute. You mean that happened in the first century? There were some people that saying they were apostles and were not? Read that again.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not.
Tried them. So the Lord has judged them. So there are a lot of people walking around here talking about they are apostles. It didn't just happen in 2026. This was written in the first century, wasn't it? So evidently the same spirit then has come down through the ages and is manifesting now. The same spirit. People saying they are and are not. And what did he say about them going to tell the truth?
And has found them liars.
Oh, found them what?
Liars.
You want to play with the seat of God and the chief apostle, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and sit in the seat, and your blood is not there, and you glory in your flesh. And don't have the anointing of the seat. What did he call them?
And has found them liars.
God, they will try. Read, go up a little bit and read it again because I need to get this established here.
And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And has found them liars.
Go ahead.
And has borne and has patience. And for my sake and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
If the candlestick be removed, that means the light has gone out of you. There's no more light in you. That's what's supposed to happen. You got to understand that. You have to understand that. Something has to shake us from saying we all right. And you don't need to say you all right about what you don't know. This is the wisdom. Just examine what you do and see if it's right. Just keep looking at what you do and see if it's right. Don't give me no general statement. I ain't right. I ain't got it together. Oh, that ain't working. I want you to look at what you do because you got a conscience. Look at what you do and see if it's by faith. See if it's the righteousness of God. Examine yourself to see. You got a conscience. He gave it to you. Is something interesting? Do you know if I'm doing something and I go through something or something happened and the flesh will talk to me that same moment, right? I'm going to help you all out because y'all ain't going to talk. So it talks that same moment, right? And it gives you a little wisdom on how you should have dealt, right? Well, I've studied it myself enough to know it ain't the Lord. I know if one voice is talking to me, the Lord is never going to talk. Never. I will go to sleep, forget all about it that day, and get up in the morning. And when I wake up, the first voice I hear is the Lord. And he's talking about what happened yesterday. And then I don't hear the devil at all, and I don't hear Cornelius. I don't hear a self-righteousness. You got to know that the enemy speaks to you through your self-righteousness. Oh God, that was weighty. That was weighty. He talks to us through our self-righteousness. You have to commit to this. You got to commit to this if you want it. No one following afar off is going to get this. You have to commit to it. And everybody knows how to commit. Because it's something in life we've all committed to. Can I get an amen? So everybody knows how to commit. The question is, do you love it enough to commit to it? Because it takes love to commit. You can't commit to nothing you're not loving. Can you hear it? That was powerful. I just want you to hear that. And in Revelation, dealing with the churches. Faith. All unrighteousness. Is sin. Jesus said that if you being evil, know how to give good gifts. If you being evil, know how to give good gifts. Turn now. I want to talk about something, and we're going to take a break out of this because this is weighty. He's laying on us. You got to hear this. Wow.
Matthew 7 verse 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
Do that one again. I want you to really hear this.
Matthew 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him.
Keep going.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them.
Anything you want somebody to do to you, you do it to them. That's how it is. No, I'm going to just do it to me. No, you got to do whatever you want done to you. You got to do it to somebody. Are you hearing me? That's righteousness how. But if I give to those that give to me and lend to those that lend to me, what's that? That's the law. It's the law of faith. So what do I really want done to me? Then I better do it to what? And I cannot have respect to person. I gotta do it because, and when I do it, I'm doing it how? If I'm evil and know how to give good gifts. But first of all, Jesus had to correct me. Wait a minute, Lord. Hold it. You know them Jews, when Jesus said, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. And Jesus told them Jews, what them Jews tell Jesus? We be not sinners. Abraham is our father. So for the Lord tell us, if you being evil and know how to give good gifts, what do we tell the Lord? We ain't evil. Let me say it again. What do we tell the Lord? What do we say? What do we tell the Lord? I have blessed a lot of people in my life. And one of the last things the Lord revealed to me was my spirit was still unclean. And I have blessed people. How does the Lord do that? Stand right there. Stand right there. Watch closely. Let's say she's sitting where the Lord is, right? And I'm in the earth. Watch closely. God is only going to move with Jesus. He's not going to move with no individual because no one paid the price for my salvation but Jesus. If Jesus is sitting expecting, is he imagining it? It's true why he paid the price to expect. When you done paid the price to expect, you can expect something. He's got a right to expect. He paid the price of expectation. We expect and haven't shedded blood, haven't paid the price to expect. And then we want to expect something. We won't even yield our members to one. And want to expect something. No. His expectancy gonna last. And he gonna sit until his last enemy be what? Made his what? Because when he was clothed in an earthen vessel, did he conquer down in the earth? Did he go so far down he dealt with death, hell, and the grave? And then when it got back to the surface, did it deal with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high? Did when he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven, it had not been manifested. He saw it. He only saw him fall when he ascended up on high.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Take care.
He saw him fall, but he had to manifest the fall. And it didn't happen until he ascended. Whatever the Lord shows you, prove it. Prove it. Because he proved it. And if the Lord showed it to you, the faith is waiting for you to connect so you can prove it. Because he has proved it already. And the Father has committed all judgment into his hand. If the Lord says, you are my righteousness, I can't let the God of this world lie to me in my members when there's enough faith left right where I am to grab hold and be the righteousness of God. In your movement, your body would be immediately healed. You are not quick to cut off unrighteousness. You are not quick. You play with it. You let your pride stay. When you know and then you justify it based upon what someone did to you. But you are talking to the Lord. What did they do to me, said the Lord? Did I not still do the will? Yes. Is that my righteousness by faith? That you do regardless of what anyone does to you? You still have responsibility and accountability because what they do to you can't kill you. It can only bring glory to you. If the devil meant it evil, God meant it good. He'll glorify you in the midst of it. Until he make your enemy
your footstool in that place. Jesus. I saw people quickly repenting for their iniquity, and it wasn't the spirit of Esau, and conditions in their body was alleviated. I saw it happening. I saw it. It's at hand. It's now. It's now, according to the gospel. It's now. 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 Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. It's now. Hey, that's non-righteous, but... And until you step into his righteousness by faith, you don't know what righteousness is. And that's why we're still lame. That's why we're still suffering. And we're trying to come up some other way, and we're trying to get it some other way. But I tell you this day, by the word of the Lord, no one will come up any other way. It's the wisdom of God we are hearing in this hour. This is the wisdom of God you are hearing. It's the wisdom of God your ears are hearing, and you gotta walk in this wisdom. Now the Spirit has come, and the anointing and the spirit of those tongues was going down in every house. And it was speaking to the forces. And even if you didn't understand before I gave you understanding, your spirit was bearing witness to the truth. The Spirit always moves first. And that anointing that hit this place these last few minutes was breaking up the strength of the enemy in your house. By the word of God, strengthening your spirit, strengthening your spirit. He had done it in your son, in your son. He had done it in your mama. He had done it. Isn't my spirit greater than your situation? Isn't my spirit greater than your condition? Isn't my spirit greater than your knowledge? So when I move by my spirit, you yield to my spirit, understanding will come. Just yield. The enemy presses you not to yield, to make you miss the move of the spirit. I see a people caught up in their situations and can't even be conscious of the spirit at all, because the situation, the condition, what's going on has swallowed them up. So much so that the spirit of God is nowhere in the condition or situation. Jesus remained conscious. And even when he gave up the ghost, he was still conscious. Nothing should shake your consciousness. Nothing should stay. That's why it's a rock. The solid rock that I'm going to build this church on is a conscience that's been purged, and it's not evil given to the flesh, tossed to and fro. Let the winds come and prove, see what consciousness is governing me. Because I need to know. I need to know. I tell you again, the Spirit of God. I saw people repenting because of their unrighteousness, and the body was becoming healthy. As fast as they were repenting of their unrighteousness, was how fast the body was being made whole and healthy. Conditions being relieved. Because that's perfection. That's perfection when your spirit can worship him. You know why the Lord tells you something? And 10 seconds after he tells you, you done forgot it. Because something else is looming over what he said. Why can't the Lord tell you something and it parade over everything else going on? It's because you don't know how to worship. When you worship, your spirit expands and is greater than the situation. But the Lord can tell you something and you forget it. Until somebody say something and trigger your memory and you say, you know what the Lord told me?
What made you forget something when a word came down from heaven to give you life and immortality? Why isn't that word supreme in us? Because we got so much knowledge. And if the Lord don't touch it, ain't nothing coming. It's mind-boggling to take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000. It's mind-boggling to go get a man and tell him to get up after 4 days and stop a funeral procession in another occasion. It's mind-boggling for a man to walk on water. I understood that. The Spirit of the Lord really picked him up and carried him away. You hear it explained in with Elijah. That spirit was not in him to do that. It literally picked him up and carried him. Just like when he went up, the spirit literally picked him up and took him up like somebody did it. The spirit does that. And I only know that from experience. You can't be like God if you don't think like him. Can you? So as a man thinketh where? So is he, or he's trying to become what he's thinking? So when I hear you think, that's the way you are. So all the imagination is the veil of who you are. And your imagination deceives you because your true thoughts are in your heart. David's daughter, Dana. And who was that? Fell sick and loved her and wanted somebody to come and feed him. And the man gave him wisdom of what to do, didn't he? So his wisdom must have been of the serpent. So whenever someone speaks to you as how to carry out an evil thing, that wisdom must be of the serpent. And that wisdom must be earthly, sensual, and devilish. So anytime you carry out something in the flesh, know that the serpent has spoken to you. Because that's the wisdom that makes you do it. Unrighteousness just doesn't happen. That has to be a wisdom given to you as to how you're going to carry it out and how you're going to do it. Now, that should not be strange to anyone, is it? Because we can all relate to that, can't we? We have need to. Something told us how to do whatever we wanted to do. And if, I'm not talking about godly. I'm talking about ungodly. Are you hearing me now? I'm talking about ungodly. Let's hear this. I'm going to spell it out with this. But you can relate to it. Listen closely. Oh, God.
2 Samuel 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar.
He fell sick for her. He loved her. He fell sick for her. He loved her. Go ahead.
For she was a virgin.
Oh. Perfect for the Lord. Go ahead.
And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her.
He loved her. He couldn't just do it. He respected her and he loved her. Go ahead.
But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab.
Jonadab, a friend. The wisdom of the serpent is the friend of your flesh. The wisdom of the serpent is the friend of your flesh that always tell you how to do something that is ungodly. Proceed.
The son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man.
Subtle, isn't that beastly? Don't we hear that word in the garden? So he had to be a beast and drop down beneath the state of a man. And he has become beastly in his nature. Even so, Nebuchadnezzar. There are times we drop down and become beastly and we get very perverse because the beast is in us. And we forgot what it is to walk upright, to be righteous and to be holy. So we get beastly in our nature. So he's subtle, and there's a wisdom that makes us beastly. Go ahead.
Verse 4. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?
Oh, the subtlest man. What's wrong with you? You acting so different. What's the problem? Come on. Go ahead.
And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and make himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister.
You sick? What's wrong with you? You said you were sick. Go ahead.
And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. So then the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her.
Hold it. What kind of mind is that? Why you hate her? You forced her. He's hating her because of the subtlety of the wisdom that Jonadab gave him.
You can't receive the wisdom from a serpent to move unrighteous and think after you do what you do, you're not going to hate the very one you did it to. Look at that wisdom. So, how many times have we set out to do something right? And it didn't end up the way we set out? That was because that wisdom from that beast came and ministered to you. She said, come on, just ask the king. It will be okay. We were made above the beast. We were not made from the lowest form of the dust. We were made from the highest and given the status of God in the earth. It's a shame to lower ourselves and become beastly. And die like men. When Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You are concentrating on what happened. I'm concentrating on the wisdom that Jonadab gave him. I want you to hear the wisdom. I want you to hear the wisdom that you get to do evil. Where does it come from? It's subtle. It's beastly. Whatever evil comes out of us, we got to see that wisdom had to be spoken to me. And I had to receive it. Because it's something about that beast. He loves to pervert anything that starts out pure. Wasn't Adam and the woman pure? Weren't they made in the image and likeness of God? What did that serpent do? That's what we need to know. The Lord has given us the Holy Ghost. Blood purged conscience, cleansed us, and yet that wisdom can speak to our members, that harlot we started off with, that sits on the hills, can speak to us and cause our members to sin against God. And we deny him and crucify him afresh in our body. That's the truth. But I saw many repenting for the spirit of unrighteousness that came out of them. They weren't caught up with what was happening. They saw the spirit of unrighteousness that they had yielded to. And they repented of that, and their body got healthy and strong. That's the wisdom of God. Where sin abound, finish it. For the Lord has given us the victory. Rejoice in it.